Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
This is becoming the most prominent form for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they told me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
DJ Envy.
The people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of Piss and People.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Christian!
What's going on, DJ Envy?
Get it off your chest.
Hey.
Uncle Charlie, what's happening?
What's up, my brother? How you?
I'm doing blessed, man. I'm blessed enough. Y'all, I just want to call and say thank y'all. About a month ago, y'all let me call up, tell you about the SBGS Foundation that's giving away the scholarship. And we did get a lot more traction, some sources, but we still haven't found that perfect candidate. You know, it's deadline is on Thursday, and we're looking for that perfect young male student that's going to an HBCU. We got $1,000 for you. We got two $1,000 scholarships that we're trying to give away. So visit us, SBGSFoundation.org, or on Instagram. SBGS Foundation.
Hold on, you got two $1,000 scholarships, nephew?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, let's make it three. I'm going to get one. I'm going to put up $1,000. Let's make it three.
Man, you about to make me cry on this road, boy.
I got you, nephew. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to have our intern send. She's going to get your information. I'm going to get that to you.
Praise God, man. For real, I've been trying to call y'all. Y'all let Trav through all the time. I'm trying to give away money.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, don't you worry about Trav, okay?
Trav comes through the back door, sir.
Thank you, brother. Hold on, all right?
But God bless y'all. Thank you.
Hold on. Trav comes through the back door, by the way. What's saying that? Sitting out there?
Hello, who's this?
Hello, yeah, what's up?
What up?
What's up? Who this? DJ Envy.
Who this?
This Ellis, man. What's going on, homie?
What's up, Ellis? Get off your chest, bro.
Man, I just said it like I said, man. I'm glad to do that time. Well, it's time glad to do it, especially right now. But I'm saying, like,
man, what the hell did you just say?
What?
How your voice turned into auto-tune just that fast?
What you say?
Not even, cuz. I mean, look, I got to get off my chest, man. Look, my homeboy's girlfriend gave me some cut when he was locked up. And now the vibe ain't the same no more.
Wait, slow down. You said your homeboy gave you some cut.
He said his homeboy's girlfriend gave him some cut.
Keep up.
Oh.
His girlfriend gave me some, gave it up while he was locked up. Now the vibe ain't the same when he come around no more, man. You know
well, of course
like,
it's not.
Well, I know what you can do to fix it.
What?
It ain't my fault, though. It's my fault, though. I mean, like,
there's only one way to make this
fault.
Even, sir.
How? What's it? What is it?
He got to sleep with his homeboy. Your homeboy just came out of jail. He probably feeling a little frisky. What you mean?
So you is that?
I don't understand why he's mad.
Are you willing to be friends with him?
Yeah, we still cool.
But the vibe ain't the same when she come around.
Well, of course it's not the same.
I think you need to do what Charlamagne suggested,
yes,
bro.
Today is National Awkward Moments Day. Listen, today is National Awkward Moments Day. No better awkward moment than tell your homeboy, like, look, I did smash your girl while you was away, but to make it up for you, I'm going to let you smash me now.
Just
boom.
Just
Charlamagne. You a bad man. You probably gay, Charlamagne. You got me up, Charlamagne.
Oh, I'm the messed up person, but you out here sleeping with your homeboy girl.
Just believe
okay.
me.
All right.
Just like that, Charlamagne. Like I'm gay or something. Come on, man. You got me up, Charlamagne. I
thought
we cool like that.
We are cool. I'm just telling you how to make it better.
I look at the breakfast club every morning. I got respect for the breakfast club. You put me out there, Charlamagne. Come on now.
You either going to make it better or you're not. Now, I didn't give you my suggestion.
Just relieve him. Have a good morning. Goodness gracious.
Winter is coming.
Get it? Winter's not coming. What are you talking about? Spring
you got to get
summer.
Through summer first.
Goodness gracious. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Okay, good,
good
morning.
What's up, Nicole? Get it off your chest.
I'm so happy, y'all. This is my last day at work for like a week and a half. I'm going on vacation.
Oh, where you going?
Where are you going?
I'm going to Spain.
Nice.
Ooh, that's
last
dope.
I walked by, I called. I got an insurance check, and I bought tickets to Spain. This is my trip to Spain.
Well, enjoy, mama.
And I'm so happy. All right, thank you.
We're happy
time.
For you. That's dope. I love things to look forward to. You got to plan a little vacation sometimes.
Hello, who's this?
This is Chandler from Columbus, Ohio. How y'all doing?
Hey, Chandler, what's up, bro?
Man, well, I got two things. One, I turned 33 on Thursday, so...
Congratulations, sir.
Shout out to me.
Okay.
Appreciate it. And I realized I'm old because I went to D.C. and was dancing, and my knees basically gave out where my bro had to hold me up.
Welcome to my world.
And it's bad, man. And then Southwest kind of ruined the day for us because we're supposed to take off at like 5 and get there at 6, and they pushed our flight all the way back to like 11:30 at night for no reason, trying to say, oh, it was mechanical problems. But still, like, they kind of ruined the day. So
bro.
I'm gonna call and vent to them
bro.
So I can get a voucher.
Bro, you said Southwest, bro.
Yeah, you deserve what you get when you fly Southwest. Southwest is just a bus in the sky.
It's so cheap, though, man. And the bags.
Yep, and you get what you pay
that's
for.
That's why. Well, have a good birthday, though, bro. Blind Beauty.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
So what people don't know is a couple years ago, Uncle Charla and DJ Enviana told me to stay in school.
Enviana.
And, you know, I shouldn't do music. But I did both. I finished my second degree, and I perfected my writing. And the Shade Room posted it. So... you know, I'm excited about that, but I just wanted to talk about something different. It's a difference between criticizing someone and being tasteless.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the Shade Room, you know, people was asking about how I'm blind and whatever, but there was one content creator that I really, really love, and he was just tasteless with his comment. I'm like, you
who was it?
Jokes. Like, I am Zoe. He was on Wildin' Out.
I know Zoe. I don't know him personally, but I know him through social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if somebody asks about blindness, I want to make people aware. If you joke, I can take a joke. I can take criticism, but don't be tasteless. You know.
Well, let me give you a little advice, Blind Beauty. You're an artist, and once you put your art out to the world, it's going to be open for all types of critique, and some things you're going to want to hear and some things you're not going to want to hear. But you know what? You got to take it all like it's the same energy. You know what I mean? Like, you're never as good as they say you are, and you're never as bad as they say you are.
But Uncle Charlotte, that's not the thing. Everybody that was commenting on the music was positive. He was, like, trying to make it, you know,
about you being blind.
Because he got to get them jokes off. It's social media. You know how people
are. Listen, the thing is, you can't get offended by people on social media because you'll be offended all day.
Word. They all got an audience. He's just trying to get them jokes off. That's all.
But don't be tasteless. But whatever. I love you guys. And thank you, DJ Enviana, for playing that little snippet.
Enviana.
Why you keep calling me Enviana?
Because you're Tatiana.
It's his thighs, G.
But listen, Blind Beauty, I just got to say this, man. Just be happy that there's so many people supporting you, because sometimes we focus so much on one negative comment. You can't let that override all the people that supported you. Concentrate on that.
You're right. And Black-owned businesses on Tidal. Comment is on Tidal and all streaming platforms.
Don't worry. Hey, Blind Beauty, we see you if don't nobody else see you. You feel me?
Facts, and I see you.
There you go.
No, you don't.
Shut up, Envy.
See, that was tasteless.
That was tasteless.
That was,
tasteless.
Whatever.
You she called me Envy. All right, well, have a good one, Blonde Beauty.
That's why you're Enviana.
She only said it's fine because she's hoping that you play her song again.
She never sent it.
You anyway, played it already.
But no, I did. We played it from her. Remember, she played it.
Right.
We played a snippet of it. All right. But anyway, keep it locked. We have more coming up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny. Executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter. A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
Check out this Breakfast Club Rewind.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Oz.
Feel blessed today. Lucky to be here.
What up, Doc? Just today? You don't feel blessed every day?
Every day, but especially around you. Just the energy. There's an animal-like charisma coming from you, emanating from you.
Well, thank you, Doc.
He's very kinky this morning, Doc.
I'm sliding over close. I'm sliding over to him now.
I appreciate that. What are you going to do with these allergies? I saw you were having some allergy problems.
Oh, my goodness. I don't usually get them that bad.
Right, me neither.
But I looked in the U.S. Weather Service, and literally the tree pollen map, it's a bullseye on this area. And so I did two things. First, I started using neti pot. Wash your sinuses out. You know that Aladdin-like lamp? You put the water in the right nostril, comes out the left nostril. Make sure it's clean water.
I never tried that.
It is really effective for allergies. And the other thing is washing your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because
really?
The pollen sticks to your hair.
Charlamagne, no worries over there.
Yeah, Charlamagne's over there.
I was like,
wow.
No, 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 my allergies are acting up.
But you know, think about it. You put hairspray, especially, and it sticks everything together, so the pollen gets stuck to the hair. You lie down at night, all that pollen is basting in your face, and you wake up in the morning with swollen eyes, your runny nose. So those are these, if you can do them.
Now, when you sat down, you said you wanted to talk about CBD, and that was good because, like, I was going to ask you about CBD because I've been on CBD for about 3-4 months now.
Hey, why are you taking it?
I like it for my anxiety, and it makes me sleep. So I take the syrup, I take the gummies, and I take the drops that you put under your tongue, and I like the cream on my joints.
Is it good for you? Is the CBD oil good?
So we did a big investigation on CBD oils. Here's my personal belief. It's not been proven, but I do believe it has wonderful medicinal benefits. But, and there's a big but here.
But?
We got 13 products. 10 of them did not have what they said was in it.
Ooh. Really?
5 of them had nothing.
So it's not really regulated yet.
Not regulated at all. Either the industry needs to do it or the government needs to do it. But there are a lot of people, Charlamagne, who are going to listen to you right now, go out and buy a CBD product, and they're going to have a miserable result. Mm-hmm. Pay a lot of money with no benefit. Why? Because they bought fake stuff. Mm-hmm. And how do you tell? It's hard.
Right.
I get mine from a pharmacy.
the ones that we've tested were sold in pharmacies.
Mm.
Look, Charlamagne, it may work for some of those things. Mm-hmm. It probably doesn't help all of them equally well. Maybe it helps joint pain a lot, anxiety a lot, but not quite so good for sleep, and that's so beneficial for intestines or whatever. So people just start to shotgun it, mm-hmm. and then they start to find their own little path. You know, I tell you, we have so much misinformation about things because of moral hang-ups. That's mm-hmm. one of the problems we're having with hallucinogens and magic mushrooms. Psilocybin, yeah. You may not remember this, but Bill Wilson, who's the guy who started Alcoholics Anonymous, actually, how did he stop drinking? Because there was no Alcoholics Anonymous for him. He started it.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped drinking because he had this mystical experience, probably through hallucinogen, mm-hmm. where he realized what the truth was. And that got him to realize that alcohol wasn't his path.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to get LSD into the AA program through the 50s, and, you know, even into the 60s he was trying to do it.
Why?
Because he realized that for some people, if they weren't going to be able to meditate their way to peace, inner peace, there was maybe a hack, a one-time deal where you could take LSD just one time, have a new view of the world, and reset yourself.
Have you ever tried any hallucinogens?
I haven't, but I'll tell you why. I don't have a problem that I think it would help. I don't smoke. I don't drink. But listen, if I was a smoker, I would think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the data from the most recent study, 80% of people who are smokers, they stop smoking after trying with a doctor one of these hallucinogens,
mm-hmm.
and two-thirds still weren't smoking after a year. These are huge success rates. And it was one time. Same for alcoholism, same for PTSD, and depression may be the most important data because people kill themselves for depression. And if you can reset, like, you know how you turn your computer on and off,
mm-hmm.
if it locks up? That's basically what this is doing.
So that's what hallucinogen is? What the f*** is the word?
Hallucinogen.
That's what they do, reset you?
Hallucinogen resets you. It allows you to see a world that you never realized existed. Apparently, I don't know this for a fact, but apocryphally, Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. creator of the iPhone,
yeah.
Apple, would take micro doses of LSD every day and
yeah.
then walk around meditating to the LSD he just taken. And then he would write the ideas down.
Right.
That's how you got the smartphone.
All right, we got more with Dr. Oz. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Taking you back with the classic rewind. It's The Breakfast Club.
I thought this was a podcast.
The Breakfast Club. If you missed The Breakfast Club,
you don't come from my world. It's dangerous.
Check out this rewind.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Dr. Oz is here. Yee.
Now, what are your thoughts on Alabama and these anti-abortion laws that they're passing in Alabama? Well, that they've passed.
I'm really worried about it. I tell you, I've taken care of a lot of women mm-hmm. who've had issues around childbirth. The problem with the law as it stands now, and I think the law was really only passed to generate a Supreme Court challenge, but most women don't know they're pregnant. It's 2 weeks past your last period mm-hmm. when you have to decide by. Well,
yeah.
I have people
that's
on the show all the time who never know they were pregnant, even when they were delivering. 50% of women don't know they're pregnant when they're pregnant.
Jesus.
So you're asking women to decide almost instantaneously if they're pregnant or not. And it's also banned in case of incest and rape. And so I don't quite get it as a doctor. And the other thing is this whole thing about heart beating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their electrical changes at 6 weeks, but the heart's not beating. If you were to say, starting from when we can hear the heart, like mm-hmm. when the heart's really doing something, that would be different. Mm-hmm. That's not 6 weeks, though.
Right.
So if you can define life by a beating heart, then make it a beating heart.
And what really concerns me is I feel like it's banning safe abortions because women, if they're determined to do something, it just won't be done safely. So if you're determined to get an abortion, which has happened in the past, it'll be done in a dangerous way and it could actually kill you.
It's, as a doctor, just putting my doctor hat on, it's big time concern because I went to medical school in Philadelphia and I saw women who'd had coat hanger events. Mm. I mean, they're really traumatic events that happened when they were younger, before Roe versus Wade, and many of them were harmed for life, emotionally discarding anyway.
Right.
At a personal level, I wouldn't want anyone in my family to have an abortion, but I don't want to interfere with everyone else's stuff because it's hard enough to get through life as it is. And I think the rule that most Americans seem to support is if the child was viable outside the womb, then you don't want to kill that child.
Mm-hmm.
If the child was not going to be able to survive outside the mom, then the mom runs the show. This is a hard issue for everybody because I get it, but just being logical about it, mm-hmm. if you think that at the moment of conception you've got a life, then why would you even wait 6 weeks, right? Then an in vitro fertilized egg is still a life.
Then you would have to get rid of everything, like Plan B.
Everything goes away. Mm-hmm. Well, Plan B would be considered criminal under some of these mm-hmm. laws.
I mean, as a doctor, you know, they said that they're going to lock doctors up if they perform these abortions. How did that make you feel? And would you still perform it? Because some doctors said, I'm still going to do it regardless.
in Alabama.
I think your primary responsibility is to your patient. Mm. And the reason they say they're going to lock doctors up is because people don't want to say they're going to lock the moms up. Because no one wants that.
Right. Do you think this abortion ban could be self-preservation for the right white race? Because white people are dying more than they are giving birth, and non-white women aren't having babies. And
no, I think that's again another effort to stimulate people to fight when, instead of dealing with the real issue.
Now, everybody's trying to get their summer body.
Yes, look, we have our Drink Fresh juice here that I did, and that I think has been really good for people to drink all natural,
superb
organic juices, no sugar added.
I'm having the beet gingerade.
Yes,
and I should point, beet is one of the best ways to get of building red cells.
Mm-hmm.
So I already feel energized. And ginger helps with the nausea because sometimes Charlamagne can nauseate
me. Yes, he can.
Yes.
But not today. Beet is great right before you work out, too. That's
you got to watch him when he tries to nauseate you.
You made us sick talking about spitting on your ass.
I know. That was weird.
On Tell people where they can hear you every day,
Doc. Go to DrOz.com. Check it out. Oh, listen, we're on Fox 5 here in New York, but we're all over the country. It's we just finished our 10th season, by the way.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Hey. Well, thank you for coming up here all the time. You know, some people that listen, you are their doctor.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, we learned a lot from Dr. Oz today. Wipe your butt, spit on the toilet paper, and wipe it.
And the pegging diet is healthy.
Oh, my goodness. All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Taking you back with the classic rewind.
Rewind.
It's the Breakfast Club.
I thought this was a podcast.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about the Fyre Festival.
Ha!
And this young man was asked something a little crazy by his boss. Let's hear it.
We had 4 18-wheeler trucks filled with Evian water. And of course, Customs had said to Billy and the gang, you need to pay us $175,000 in cash today for us to release the water. Billy called and said, Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. You're our wonderful gay leader, and we need you to go down. Will you suck to fix this water problem? And I literally drove home, took a shower, I drank some mouthwash. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really, and I got into my car to drive across the island to take one for the team.
So 800-585-1051, what's the most over-the-top thing that your job has asked you to do?
Nothing like that.
What about you, Yee?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when I was an intern, nothing over-the-top, but it would always be like little things that I felt like, why am I picking up dry cleaning and walking dogs and doing stuff like that. But I don't think that's over the top. That's just going above and beyond, but not like what Andy King was asked. No one's ever asked me to do that.
What about you, Charlamagne?
I used to work for Wendy Williams, so I could write a book.
He's like, similar story.
It's a similar story.
To Andy.
You have to suck what?
Nope.
Who's what?
Nope. Give me a few years. I'll write a book. Okay.
Is that mouthwash?
All right. I think here at Power was I had to go up in that crane thing to
the
billboard.
Our first billboard we got.
They first put our first billboard up, and I'm definitely afraid of heights. And had to go up in that big ass crane to go to the top of that billboard. I didn't have to do it.
You felt like you couldn't say no.
They asked me to do it, and I made a choice. That's why I don't see the problem even with, you know, Billy asking Andy to take one big thing for the team.
There's a big difference between going up in a crane and giving someone oral sex.
But he told Andy the problem. He told him the solution. And Andy made a choice. We got to stop acting like adults don't have choices. If I was Andy, I'd be offended that Billy
Ask you this.
That Billy know I'm ready to suck.
You can't see that.
If Billy would have asked a woman to do that, would that have been
very disrespectful?
Okay, so why is that okay that he asked? It's not okay.
It's not okay. Clearly he know Andy.
It's not okay.
Clearly he know what Andy about.
It doesn't matter. It's not okay.
I've never been asked to do anything crazy, but I did ask an intern to do something crazy.
Yeah,
for me
I remember
one
time. That. That was disrespectful.
What did you ask the intern to do?
She had a choice. Before anybody takes it so far, remember, calm down. Calm down. It sounds crazy. I stepped in dog poo. You remember that? And we had a photo shoot, and I asked her, would she kindly clean my sneaker?
He made her clean the poo off of his
sneaker.
Who
hurt sneakers.
You, Andy? So disrespectful.
Who hurt you? Who did that to you?
And
that
then
you
he was
felt
like, well,
like
I gave her $10.
Yeah. Who hurt you?
I gave her more than 10. But I asked, we had to do a show, we were live.
We didn't have anything to do.
We was on air.
You just stepped in dog poo and asked someone to do that. We didn't have a shoot, it was a show.
Nobody hurt me, but I said thank you.
Listen, I think that if anything, Billy would be fired for asking something inappropriate, right?
He can't get fired.
But I'm saying that's still an inappropriate request. Like, that's something that you could report
to HR.
Yes,
absolutely.
But if I ask you to do it, if you're my employee and I ask you to do it,
and you decide you want to do it, that's kind of like, I gave you a choice. I didn't put a gun to your head.
You can't do that. Let's go to the phone.
That's not in my job description.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what up, y'all? Good morning. My name's Lenny, man.
Leonard. Now, what's the most over-the-top thing your job asked you to do, bro?
Yo, back in the day, I used to work for Burger King and whatnot, and this lady had came in. She had mad kids, so one of her son went to the bathroom. He was in there for a minute. You know, she was talking about he didn't feel good or whatnot. I think he had a stomach virus. So he had came out and told her he had an accident. So I'm thinking either he peed or whatever the case may be. Yeah, it's crazy. So I go in the bathroom. He done threw up, and he done all over the toilet. So my boss was like, well, you know, customers are coming in. I'm going to need you to clean that up. And I'm like, yo, y'all bugging. I quit right then and there.
You ain't clean it up?
Yo, come on. Come on, MVP series.
Damn.
Okay.
We working now. We working now.
I work for a plant called Shaw.
Let me ask you a question. Why you couldn't clean up that little boy Dookie?
I wouldn't want to do that either. That's just...
Look, Charlamagne, look, it wasn't no little bit of Dookie. He had a stomach virus.
Oh, got you.
Everywhere, and then turn around and doodle everywhere.
Was cleaning Dookie and throw up in your job description?
No.
No, it wasn't. I was there to make fries and flip burgers.
Oh, got you. True. Man.
Brooke!
Yo.
What's the most overtop thing your job asked you to do, bro?
They told me not to let any black people in the club.
Oh, no.
And the thing is, I was the only black person that worked it.
Damn, what club was this?
This was Ainsworth on...
Damn. So that's crazy. So what did you do? Did you stay working there or did you quit?
Tell the truth.
Well, the dude that put me on, I ain't wanna make him look bad because, you know, he gave me the job there. So I told him I was about to leave. I'm like, nah, I'm leaving. And he told me not to let no black people in. So he was just bummed out. He was like, yo, do what you got to do. But in the same breath, I can afford not to work at a spot like that. I didn't know if he could. So I was just more like, nah, I'm gonna stick it out. But I told him I don't ever want to work there again. And he understood. But that was just crazy to me.
Wow, that's crazy. And I've been to that Ainsworth.
Nah, it's no good.
Damn.
Okay, good to know.
All right, thank you, bro. All right, what's the moral of the story, guys?
I don't know what the moral of the story is.
The moral of the story is you should not have to put yourself in a compromising position for your job.
That I agree with. I always feel that way. I feel like you should never put yourself in a compromising position for a position.
Going above and beyond is different than actually compromising your morals.
I do think Billy and Andy's situation is just a tad bit different. Why? Only because Billy called Andy. He didn't pressure Andy. He didn't tell Andy you're going to get fired if you don't do X, Y, and Z. He told Andy the situation, told him what can fix the situation, and Andy went home and gargled and was ready to go.
My goodness.
That's just a little bit different to me.
All right, guys. All right.
Don't sound offended. Did he get offended in that? I didn't see the documentary.
He kind of shocked, and he also sounded like he couldn't believe himself.
I'm mad that Andy didn't ask no questions because I need to know who.
What question would you ask?
I want to know who did Billy negotiate with.
How do you know this is even going to work?
Did they ask you?
Because imagine he went and did that, and then they still didn't release the water.
Yeah. So whoa. Hey, if I don't release,
this water don't get released.
This water don't get released.
Keep it locked. This is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
Yes. Two young men.
Irv Gotti and Ja Rule.
Yay!
There's a lot to talk to you guys about.
You guys look so youthful all the time.
It's always a lot to talk about.
I've been waiting for these two.
Because y'all stay in the middle of some ish. I just have to say both
Let's
of
say
them.
Good-ish.
Let's start with Growing Up Hip-Hop first. Y'all on the season of Growing Up Hip-Hop?
Yes.
Why?
It's for the kids, man. Irv, it's for the kids.
You're executive producer. You do your own stuff. Why are you joining?
It's just what I said. It's for the kids. Mm-hmm. My son, JJ, wanted this so bad. Like, he started working out. He got...
Oh, my God.
Like, he really wanted to be on it.
That's funny.
He did.
So what are the kids talking about? Because they didn't have to go through the struggles that you guys had to.
Let me tell you, here's the thing, and I'm going to just say this.
They went to school in the Maybach.
Yeah, but that's right. Listen, they have their own struggles and their own to fight through.
The Wi-Fi didn't work. What struggle do the kids have?
All right, one is living up to the expectations of their parents. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for them.
And
that's
any
a lot
of
pressure.
Kids rappers?
Yes. My son is making some music, and he's doing his thing.
Sinner.
And my daughter,
Sinner.
She's a screenwriter and an actress. She went to school.
She's in Tails.
What school did she go to?
She's in Tails.
Come on, man.
Everyone is
Come on,
Tails.
Come on, you know where she went. The real H.U.
Just ask it.
Yeah, she's a Hamptonian. She just graduated, so...
How great is your son at rapping, and how do you critique him? Because that is still your son, so.
You know what's crazy, Ange? I ain't really heard none of his music.
What? Why not?
That's not a lot of confidence. I
did
know,
a joint with him.
You did a joint with him?
Gotti did a joint with him.
And you didn't hear it?
Listen,
I heard it. Yeah, I heard it.
I sent it to Rule.
It sounds good.
It's really dope, and it could work.
It sounds good, and it could work. But the thing I, you know, with me and my kids,
Senna
is, you know,
MXV.
I want him to be him. I want them to, you know, love whatever they want to love, be passionate about whatever they want to be passionate about, and go for it. See, that's what we're here for. I'm the crutch. So if you could go out and up a little bit, whereas me and Gotti, we didn't have those options. Brittany has a degree to fall back on. Right. Rule's going to college in September out in Florida at Full Sail. So, you know, they have things to fall back on if their dreams and passions don't work, which is, for me, is what's up.
My daughter Angie went to school because that's Deb's daughter. You know what I'm saying? So she's college. I chose a different route for my boys. Mm-hmm. I said, college, and I took them with me.
But if they wanted to go to college...
Yeah, but they didn't know what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So you
no kid does.
Right.
But go ahead.
So I took him with me. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people gonna be like, "Nah, that's a bad idea."
My kids make six figures.
Parents, your kids.
I'm cheating life, basically, for my kids because.
And I agree with that.
There's nothing wrong with being educated.
I agree with that.
I'm not gonna say what I feel on college.
I would say I agree with Gotti. I agree that they should get education when they're in high school. But when it comes to college, if they want to go, absolutely, positively. But there's nothing better than life. That's why I go so hard on real estate. I want to create that empire so if they don't know what they want to do, you take dad's job.
I want to say this to both of y'all.
Yes.
Because I'm going to say y'all are both wrong.
Right.
There was a time when it was illegal for a black person to even learn how to read.
Correct.
So why wouldn't you want your kids to be as smart as they can be?
I want my kids to be successful.
They can be successful after they go get education.
They can be successful without college.
That they doing with dad.
My man's a lawyer. I don't want to say his name because this isn't a good story.
Okay.
Right? But he's a lawyer. Now, you figure a lawyer is a high-level profession that you go to school for. So my man still owes his college
thing.
He's still in the hole like 40 grand.
Yeah.
So, one, it's like a huge setback. And I'm going to hold
kids.
I'm going to say something that, again, may ruffle some feathers.
Right.
But college... usually promote you to be a worker bee. Because what do you say to someone after they finish their 4 years of college? Get a job.
Correct.
So it promotes you, go to college, and be a worker.
That's institution. Probably.
And I also feel like getting a job helps you learn how to run a business.
They need school.
The thing is, I agree with Irv to a certain point. Some of these curriculums are so old that they haven't transformed to what's going on now.
That's facts,
like me going through, I took my daughter to college, so I went to 20 colleges. None of them have a real estate course. And if they do, it's one class.
Yep.
Coding.
Yep.
Very little with coding.
Yep.
Why? Because they don't care. It's back in the economics. You want to know what H2O is? You want to know what nitrogen is?
Right. Nobody cares about that.
I've never had to use that in my life.
That's why I'm sending Little Rule to Full Sail.
That's a dope college.
It's a college he's excited to go to. Because they specialize in tech, music,
correct,
entertainment. But I disagree with you guys sitting here being successful with black men telling people who don't have these same opportunities or may not ever have the opportunities that we had that school is not for them. They need school. Every black young man and woman needs education.
Irv and Rule, I want to ask y'all something because you guys have been together for such a long time business-wise. Has there ever been a time that y'all was like, okay, I'm going to go here and you go here? Because it just feels
We have our own business. But has there been a time?
Me and Rule is like completely different than anything that anyone has ever seen in hip-hop.
This is my brother, y'all. This is a true brother. I love this.
I support
Rule. Of opinions. Like
unconditionally.
Did you support him during Fire Festival?
We got it.
Yes.
Here we go. He was on the Breakfast Club talking all this positive. Let's get to the scandal.
What the hell was going on with the Fire Festival, Jack?
What was it going on?
He was bamboozled.
What did Jack get himself into? And then got to say, we can do this again next year.
I thought I was going to the Fire Festival.
You are. Trust me.
I was coming back.
It's just what we call the Fire Festival.
Okay.
No, I'm actually,
oh, boy.
Here's the real. And then this is
and
real.
And
I supported Rule during the Five.
But even if you didn't think it was a good idea, you never at one point was like...
No, honestly, Billy had me
fooled. The App was a great idea.
The Five Festival was an amazing idea. Let's not act like every f***ing body wasn't coming to the Five Festival.
But it just was done, you think, too soon?
It was done wrong. It was organized bad. The idea of it was dope. The marketing was dope. Everything was done very right on that end.
Did you see the documentary?
I did not watch.
No, good. Because on that documentary...
I lived through it, MV. I don't need to watch it again,
First of all, how did they put your footage out there without clearing it?
I may still have a lawsuit in the way for that. No, but, listen, man. The whole fire was...
There's some classic quotes on there.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I had my quote on there that I said.
Which one?
I know what you're talking about.
I was talking about tell the kids to get in the water. Tell the models to get in the water. That's one of those.
The best quote was the guy who was sucking.
Andy King
was
amazing.
That's his name?
Yeah. Andy King.
Come on, man. That guy's a star now.
He's a superstar.
He said, as I was taking a shower, saying, I'm really going to go this guy. Right. Or whatever. I'm like, this guy
that's what happens when you're a
hell of a worker.
I need him on my team. I'm going to do that for water.
That's what happens when you go to college and you become a worker.
What's your relationship with Andy, man?
I don't have a real relationship with Andy. I met Andy, of course. I knew Andy, but I don't have a relationship with Andy. You know, this is...
Andy went to college.
Andy's willing to take one for the team. Yeah. He's a team player.
He's the ultimate team player.
But when did you realize that things weren't about to work out? Was it
they
when
still didn't. They on the end of it. He was like,
just the festival. When did you say, okay... This is...
The day I got the call, it was like, Ja, I was in Chicago. And it's like, I'm getting calls crazy. Like, Ja, this is not... Now, hold on. Hey, I want everybody to understand something, right? So the biggest thing about the festival, it was the biggest problem to me, was the tents.
Mm-hmm.
So when I seen this, I'm like, yo, what the are we doing with these tents? These are not the tents that were in the drawings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was told...
Mm-hmm.
Ja, we sent out emails to everyone, and these tents are the tents that everybody's sleeping in. They know that. So now I'm told the emails went out to everyone and only a few people wanted refunds. They know they're sleeping in these tents versus those tents. So I'm like, all right, cool. It's off and going.
Right.
When my landed, they was like, what the are these? And that's when all hell broke loose.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when I'm talking on the end of the that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying it wasn't. It wasn't fraud, it was false advertising.
Yeah, my employees
are on there talking about this is fraud and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, hold up. Fraud is the intention of not ever putting on a festival. Like me and then Billy sat somewhere and said, listen, what we're going to do, guys. Mm-hmm. That never was the plan. We wanted to do an amazing festival, and I believe Billy did too. You understand? And it just didn't manifest to be that.
All right, we got more with Irv Gotti and Ja Rule. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Irv Gotti and Ja Rule. Are you going to do another festival?
Yeah, I'm going to kill it. So let me tell you, here's the thing with my festival, what it was. I was doing a traveling festival, and I was doing the five elements of Earth, elements. Mm-hmm. So I was doing water,
mm-hmm.
fire, metal, wood, earth. My first element was water. My second element, I was going to go for wood. And when you think of wood, you think of the wood or whatever, but I was going to do it. I wanted to try to pull it off right here in the concrete jungle, Central Park. You understand? So I had all of these dope ideas. And trust me, the investors was like, we love it. It just... wasn't pulled up.
Job, $20 million
was...
I give you $50,000 for a festival, and then you say, I'm going to do this again? I ain't giving you another $50,000.
All right, that's you. That's you.
$500 tickets. These was $50,000, $70,000.
Envy, understand something. I wasn't the motherfucker that they were talking to at the end of the day.
If I lose $50,000, I want 5 minutes with everybody.
You didn't give it to me. You didn't give the money to me, Envy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't talk the business with me, Envy. You didn't do the deal with me, Envy. I wasn't the one sitting in the room with you saying, yo, I have this as collateral to give you if mm-hmm. this doesn't go right. You sat there and did that with Billy. So these people know the purity of Ja Rule. They're like, Ja was the motherfucker that had the vision, the idea. It was an amazing idea.
Yeah,
we sat and did the
business. People losers, Ja.
No, who?
Oh,
what
in the documentary.
I didn't call nobody a loser.
Yes, you did.
I did not. That was Billy. See,
you, no, now you that was you.
It was not me. Go listen to the audio. That was Billy.
That was you on the
It
boat.
Was not me. It was Billy. Who that called losers?
You said we got to get these losers on this out here. Yes, you did.
Who? Now. Me?
You, yes.
I would never call nobody losers, Envy.
Oh, man. Don't
give me the clip. Let me see it, man. Because I've never seen it.
It says,
let me see it.
Hey, guys. Dream to you average loser.
That wasn't me. Billy said that. You know who he's talking about?
What?
He's talking about his f-ing people, his audience, friends. The millennials. He's like kids like me that are not socially f-ing cool. They're f-ing, we're selling a dream to them that they can f-ing models on the beach, which is not happening. Mm. So that's what he was saying. We're selling a pipe dream to basically kids like me, he was saying.
That's the false advertising.
Hey, listen. Listen. I'll say it again, yes. Man. I'll say it over and over again.
That was great advertising.
I would never do anything.
I was invited. I didn't go though. I was like, come on, Envy. I was like,
nobody went, Envy. What are you talking about? Now this went belly up day f-ing one.
Yeah,
man.
It was
bad. Day one. Millions of dollars went out to pay all kinds of people.
Artists got their first halves.
All kinds of artists got more than first halves. Mm. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars went out. 20-something million dollars was spent trying to put this festival on. So millions of dollars went to everywhere. The Bahamas. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So now, goes belly up day one. What you think motherfucker did that was supposed to make payments for weekend two festival and day two of the festival and so forth and so on? What you think they did with the money? I don't know.
Did you ever hear from the little lady from the Bahamas?
I feel so bad for the lady because, like I'm saying, I don't disbelieve what she's saying. Right. I believe what happened to her. But I don't believe it came from us. You know what I'm saying? I believe money was given to whoever Bohemian people was supposed to pay this woman. And when it went belly up on day one, it was like, man, listen, man. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. You still speak to Billy?
No. I have no conversations with Billy. I don't intend to have any conversations with Billy. You know what I'm saying? Billy, I'm mad
like he
at
lied
Billy.
To you?
Yeah, he lied to me, man.
But you did think he had good intentions.
He lied to me in a lot of ways. He did a lot of... you know what I think at the end of the day? He's a 25-year-old kid. He got in way over his head, and he was like, hook or crook, I got to make this happen, however, and do whatever I got to do. You know what I'm saying? And that's where his mind went, and that's what he started doing. I don't know if he didn't tell me things he was doing to protect me or maybe he was just that, you know, like, I'm just going to just do these things. You know what I'm saying? He opened up separate bank accounts. He did all kind of, you know what I'm saying? So I don't need to get in all the details. The right. feds and the IRS and them people did all of that already. They fine-tooth combed this thing and sent Billy to jail and Ja Rule sitting here doing an interview at the Breakfast Club.
And now you have Icon. Saying?
And now I have Icon. I rebranded my company. So what any good businessman or entrepreneur would do, and you can look this up in the history of companies, some of the biggest companies in the world. Sometimes you got to pivot. Sometimes you got to rebrand. Sometimes you got to, you know what I'm saying, restructure your amazing idea or plan and put it, you know what I'm saying, into play in a different way. And that's what I did. I rebranded my and, you know, the app was an amazing app, and it's a great thing for artists.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're cutting out the middleman. You know,
it was
you don't
working.
Have to
we was on that platform.
It's dope, and it still works. I still get a lot of offers through the platform, through Icon. You can go to icon.me right now, sign up. Artists can sign up. And it's good for artists because you ain't got to worry about motherfuckers dipping in your pot. The buyer makes his offer. It goes straight to the artist and their team, and they can say, we want more money, we want less money, or get the out of here. Either way.
You let people get to you for a second. And I didn't... When it came out and everybody was getting at you, you started firing back at everybody for a little
bit. No, because let me tell you something, Envy. There's one thing. You know, see, social media has given people a voice that maybe shouldn't have a voice.
True.
But what it's also done is it's given the artist a voice when they need to say, yo, motherfucker, it wasn't me.
Right.
But now here's the thing that I want to bring to light. Oh, and boy. I'm like, yo, the crazy is when you look at what happened with my festival and everything, when I look at the big picture, rich, white kids, which is who my festival was geared towards, didn't get the tents that they paid for and was promised.
Correct.
It's an issue, but it's not life or death. Now, I'm going to fast forward to Rolling Loud just last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Six people got murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne said, I'm not performing because of police presence at the venue. Kodak Black got arrested at the venue. You know what I'm saying? The NBA young boy's car got shot up. His girl got shot. Why we ain't hearing nothing about the when these documentaries coming out? Now, I'm going to make it a black or white thing because it feels like when it's black people being f***ing ostracized and f***ed over. It don't mean nothing.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Right. But white kids that didn't get their tents that they f-ing were promised and went on and partied, you know what I'm saying?
And the thing. Yeah,
and went on, you know what I'm saying? And went on and partied in Miami or went on and partied in the Bahamas. They made two documentaries about this and tried to make me f-ing a black eye of festivals. So when I look at it in the nutshell of things, I know what it is. It's great. It's, you know, media fodder. It's great for the sensationalism of it all. But the reality of it all is it's a situation that can be worked out, can be, you know.
All right, we got more with Irv Gotti and Ja Rule when we come back. Let's get into a mini mix, a Murder, Inc. mini mix. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I got 100 guns. That was a Murder, Inc. mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Ja Rule and Irv Gotti still here. So when's the next season of Tales start?
Next season, July 2nd.
July 2nd,
only on BET. And I wish I could make this announcement because I got a big, big announcement. But, you know, the people at Viacom and BET want them to make the announcement, and then I could run my mouth. But I will tell you this.
Okay, I'm listening.
Give us a hint.
I will tell you this that they'll get mad at, but... right? A little bit. Right, I love you, but I'm on
bit.
The Breakfast Club, right? I got to say something.
Right.
So the normal thing how we do Tales, if you're a fan of Tales, is I take existing songs and turn them into movies.
Right.
So the season premiere, July 2nd, will be a two-hour season premiere of a brand new record produced by me and my production partner, Seven, from a huge artist.
East Coast, West Coast, South, New York.
Man,
Midwest.
Woman.
Midwest.
Controversial.
Controversial. There's a million of them, man.
Nah.
Damn.
The biggest, hugest artist.
Eminem.
No.
You know we don't do that guy. Look. The biggest, hugest artist.
Who's the way left?
Who's been the most controversial in the last year?
Okay, Kanye West is going to be on the season premiere of
Tales.
You
go.
Yay. I didn't say it.
Kanye West will be the season. Hold on.
Let's say it right.
What?
He's not acting in it, but I have maybe a song.
Oh, you wasn't supposed to say.
DJ Envy said it.
Terrible. Yo. He didn't have to be right.
I know who not to tell secrets to.
Brand new song you never heard before.
And it's hot.
Hold on.
Kanye West, July 2nd.
We didn't do it by Irv Gotti. And Seven, because he'll get mad.
Jesus Christ.
And it's a brand new record. I won't give you the name of the song. They can find that out.
But if you keep asking, he might.
What is the name of the song?
Keep pushing him.
You don't know the name, Gotti.
It is a worldly, It is a worldly, brotherly song.
Brother love.
You're close. Two syllables.
Okay, the word is.
Just say this.
It's four weeks.
Tell everybody.
I didn't say it, BET. I didn't say it via Cobb. DJ Envy did. Everyone tune in July 2nd on the artist that I won't say his name.
Tells, baby.
Now, let me ask you guys this for Grown Up Hip Hop. When does the new season start?
The new season starts. What's the exact date?
Yeah, what's the date?
I know July 2nd is Tales, but July 2nd is Grown Up Hip Hop.
Featuring Kanye.
Hey, someone give us the... date.
You cool with Ashanti. Y'all do a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Have y'all had y'all conversation in?
No. But
you gotta make that happen, man.
No, but listen, what I like to say in regards with Ashanti is that I am way in a different space. So I'm not thinking about anything in the past that brings up a bad feeling or whatever.
So y'all can have a conversation.
We can have a kumbaya, a murdering kumbaya moment.
They got to make that happen,
Ashanti, with Lloyd. Nobody's against nothing. And listen, like people say, like with Lloyd, I have said things with Lloyd. Lloyd asked me to do his TV One doc.
Yeah, I did it.
Mm-hmm. No ifs, ands, or buts. Lloyd also is coming up in this Bobby DeBarge movie.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And what people don't know is the people who produced that is Swirl Films, which is my crew and my boys, and they asked me, yo, we want to cap, yo,
fuck with him. Yeah. And he's dope. So not only doing a documentary where I'll be seen supporting something that he's doing, but even behind the scenes when I could have been the Irv Gotti, nah, shut that down. No, I supported then as well. You know what I'm saying? The only thing is, like, this is a tough thing because even with my documentary and Rose documentary that we're doing on Murder, Rink, what do you want me to say?
Right.
So if you ask me a question about 2001 to 2004, what am I to say?
But that's why...
Is she on the documentary?
I would love to see the Murder, Inc. documentary and then after Murder, Inc. tour.
It's the tour first, then the documentary, then the TV series.
But is everybody on the tour?
Yeah, yes. That's what we want.
We want everybody on. So we're still working all of that out.
Even Caddy.
You know, talk to everybody still.
You know, I have my issues with Caddy or whatever like that.
What's Caddy like town now?
He's somewhere.
Caddy's out in Jersey somewhere.
He's somewhere. He's somewhere.
I mean, I don't talk to him, but I hope he's doing good.
I've seen him in West Milford, New Jersey.
I hope he's doing good or whatever. We would like him to come on the tour and be a part of it. And me and Rule, if we could talk about the tour.
Okay.
We're giving our fans something that they're going to remember. For the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. We're trying to tell the full Murder, Inc. story. So imagine if it was like you've seen a play and we're going to use the TV screens and theatrics. Maybe when it's around the time that the feds roll in, maybe the feds is going to come rushing the stage and grab
it. Got it.
Okay.
But if you do that...
Hold on, Envy. You got two syllables. Like that.
You got to start with Mike Gino. That's the beginning.
We was talking about
that. You got to start with Mike Geronimo. That was the beginning.
We was absolutely talking about that and bringing someone out like Mike is part of the story, doing It's Real, maybe doing It's Time to Build, but that would take a lot because that was for... Well, let me... Two syllables. So, but what we're trying to do is bring our audience and the people who was Murder, Inc. fans, they're going to see something that they're going to go home and they're going to be like, wow, they're going to learn some on the tour. They're gonna see a story told, intertwined with music. People have seen a million tours. We don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like Kanye, like when you think of tours, when he had that floating stage, that was spectacular.
Kanye, July 2nd, Tales.
Yes,
go ahead.
Don't forget Tales.
And I got the date.
Yeah, he's the whistleblower.
June 13th on WE TV.
That's soon.
Wait, okay. It starts June 13th?
That's like next week.
We're still shooting.
Oh, you're still shooting?
It starts next week. June 13th. WE TV.
That's what it says, right?
Big shout out to my guy, Josh Sapin. He runs AMC Networks.
I'm wrong. September 5th. I'm wrong.
Evie, what the hell is wrong with you? How did you get that date?
But it said, all right, September 5th.
That's September 5th.
And me and
our
daddy are executive producers on that as well.
Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Yes.
And we look forward to seeing a new season of Growing Up Hip Hop and, of course, Tales with Kanye West, July 2nd.
We can't forget that day.
Exclusive. Kanye, this is all envy. He's the one saying your name.
And the name
as much as this.
Yeah.
Two syllables.
All right, it's The Breakfast Club. It's Irv Gotti and Ja Rule.
Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny. Executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter. A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donkey of the Day goes to Mr. Rich Dollars. Now, in the past, I've called Rich Dollars Bitch Dollars, but I'm not even going to do that anymore because I'm at a different place in my life. Okay, I'm not going to disrespect Rich Dollars because Rich Dollars does a damn good job of disrespecting himself. Rich Dollars and I actually used to be cool. In fact, in 2009, I think I got verified on Twitter because of Rich Dollars.
Okay, so he's...
That has to count for something,
he
right?
He verified you.
Shut up. Rich Dollars has worked with artists that I have enjoyed and supported. Olivia. We supported Olivia, right?
Uh-huh. Ryan Leslie.
Yeah. Chris Ivory, respectively. But I don't rock with Rich Dollars anymore because some years ago, maybe three, maybe four, I forgot, Rich Dollars lost himself in the world of reality TV. It happens to the best of them. All right. See, Rich Dollars is listed as an entertainment manager, record producer, and longtime supporting cast member on Love & Hip Hop. Over the years, this man has forgotten about being an entertainment manager and record producer, and he's gone full-blown supporting cast member on Love & Hip Hop. Rich called my phone barking on me a few years ago because I told him an artist he was pushing sucked. And, I mean, he was talking extremely tough. So tough, I literally thought the Love & Hip Hop cameras were rolling. All right. He was talking so tough to me that I said something I only say when I'm looking for a good time. And that sucked my D.
You told him that? I didn't know you say that. I thought you're not supposed to say that.
Now, he called me back after that laughing, all right, just to say he was playing. Him and Peter Guns was pulling a prank on me, but F all that, all right? I like to play, but don't play with me like that because I don't believe you was playing. You just thought you could call me, talk tough, and I was going to buy into that. Nope. I don't rock with you. You know, God bless you, but F you, I wish you the best. Now, I'm saying all that to say, I'm not even tripping off all that anymore, okay? I would not refer to that man as Bitch Dollars. His mother used to follow me on social media.
She unfollowed you?
I don't know. Oh. I don't be on Twitter like that, so I don't know. And she would get mad when I would say that about him. And honestly, I don't even feel like that anymore. I have zero problems with Rich Dollars. But this morning, when I came into Breakfast Club Studios, Angela Yee was in here watching Love & Hip Hop clips from last night. And then I looked at Hot New Hip Hop and Monsters and Critics, and I saw a headline that said, "Watch Safari Samuels and Rich Dollars nearly come to blows on Love & Hip Hop." I clicked on this headline because I am thoroughly entertained by Safari Samuels. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Safari Samuels. Straight! And I was thoroughly disgusted by what I saw. Can we play this exchange between Rich Dollars and Safari Samuels before I continue?
It is however many removed from me.
Yo, your pants look way too tight. I don't like seeing all the ankles that I'm seeing.
We doing that? We doing that?
Don't be disrespectful.
Are we doing that?
Don't talk about somebody
are
like
we
that.
Doing
that? That's good for TV.
Yeah. Come on. Hey, yo, Playboy. Let's play that game.
Let's calm
play
down.
That game.
Table.
Play that,
that
game.
Slow-mo. Look at me running slow-mo. Yo, you okay? I saw your ankle twist.
Now we finna play this game.
You okay, Rich?
Did they really play?
Let's play. I'm from the east side. Let's play.
All right. Clearly, that was crazy, a little unexpected.
What he said was very disrespectful. I would never sit here and speak about another man's woman, especially when they're not here.
Listen, Rich Dollars.
Wait, the east side? What east side is he from?
I have no idea, Angela.
A lot of east
I was going to ask you. All right, I don't know.
That's your friend. You never been to the east side?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Rich Dollars.
Story.
Rich Dollars. This is Lenard talking. All right, Charlamagne the God, whatever you want to call me. I'm just talking to you, brother to brother, black man to black man. In the words of Pimp C, knock this monkey stuff off. You're embarrassing us. You are 41 years old. You are way too grown to be fake flexing on reality TV. Safari is absolutely right. You were performing for the cameras. You would not be acting like that if there wasn't 100 security guards and 20 feet in between y'all. Only reason people fake flex like they want to fight on Love & Hip Hop is because of all the security and the distance between each other. You want to cut down on the fight? Fighting in the conflicts, let them Negroes sit right next to each other at reunions.
Okay, if Safari and Rich were sitting right next to each other, I truly believe those conversations would be totally different. Not to mention, if y'all saw each other in the street today or at some function where there were no cameras and no security, you would be dapping each other up and taking pictures with each other and posting them on the gram with captions about money over beef and hashtag brothers. Like, knock it off. All right, if you was 20-something years old, Rich, I'd be like, whatever, do your thing. But, bruh, you're 41. Okay, you a whole grown-ass man. Rich Dollars, you have too many wrinkles in your forehead to be acting like that on TV, all right? You know how you can count the rings in a tree to see how old it is? You can count the wrinkles in Rich Dollars' forehead to see how old he is. From the top of his eyebrows to the bottom of his hairline, there's 41 wrinkles, all right? That's way too many wrinkles to be on TV fake flexing, all right? Rich Dollars, you got too much age around your eyes in the form of crow's feet, okay? The drooping upper eyelid, that upper lip is starting to sink, all right? That dull, glowless skin is sagging. You got those fine lines around your nose, those lines that look like map lines on the GPS navigation. Is we going the right route, Rich, all right? Okay, I mean this in the most loving way, all right?
First, really?
This is love, ye. All right, open the door and let God in. This is love. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. 1 Charlemagne 13:11, all right? When I was a young Rich Dollars, I talked like a young Rich Dollars, I thought like a young Rich Dollars, I reasoned like a young Rich Dollars. When I became a man, I put the ways of love and hip-hop and reality TV behind me. My brother, there is no way you watched that back this morning and not feel embarrassed. All right, don't listen to these digital D-heads on social media saying, Rich Dollars, he don't play. That's right, Rich, turn up. You from the east side. No, those people gassing you up. Okay, they just as lost as you are. You are grown. All right, in the words of Deepak Chopra, every day, in every way, you should be increasing your mental and physical capacity. You clearly aren't increasing your mental capacity because nobody with intelligence would be acting like that on Love & Hip Hop at 41 years old. And you damn sure not increasing your physical capacity because the skin on your forehead is folding over on itself repeatedly, and that's why you've developed those creases in your forehead. Rich Dollars, your forehead looks like an old leather couch in a speakeasy. All right? Rich Dollars, do you know what they call those lines in your forehead? Worry lines. You know why your forehead got more lines than a football field? Because you have bottled up a large amount of stress. You know why you're stressed? Because you don't want to grow up. You are emotionally and mentally immature. That's why you don't know how to handle conflicts better than you do. Emotionally mature people deal with life stressful situations way better than you. And life wouldn't be so hard if you just grew up. All right? Trying to be something you not got you stressed. The word for today and for the rest of your grown life should be maturity. You hear me, Rich Dollars? We need you to grow up and act your age and not Safari's penis size. Please let Remy Ma give Rich Dollars the biggest hee-haw. Don't worry.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
All right.
That ended weird.
It did. All right, we got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
I'ma keep it real with you.
Get some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
I'm saying Anonymous.
All right, what's your question for Yee, Anonymous? Yes, we can.
All right. So I have a dilemma. When my boyfriend and I first started dating, we're gonna, you know, do it in the car, and he pulled his pants down. Ooh. There was a foul odor. he didn't fart. He just like had took a dump and like didn't wipe his butt.
Hey.
So now we like live together, and whenever we're gonna do it, I always, you know, I'm hesitant because he doesn't wipe his butt. So he always older, and you know, he always has dookie stains on his boxers.
Those skid marks, that's what they call them.
Yes, skid marks. So how do you tell your man, like, babe, can you please wipe your ass?
Is he a grown man or a baby wearing a diaper? That is disgusting. First of all,
don't judge that man.
I'm gonna tell you. Oh, is this Envy we're talking about here?
You mean, is this Gia? But don't judge that man.
No.
All right, so first of all, do y'all have wet wipes in the bathrooms in the house?
I think I need to keep him there, but that doesn't mean he'll use them.
You got to help him out, man, because there's, first of all, there's no way he don't smell the doo-doo coming out his butt. when he pulls his pants down, number one. Number two, you might have to tell him you got to get up in there when you wipe yourself and wipe yourself good. And you might have to buy him some wet wipes to carry with him when he goes places and tell him to use those when he uses the bathroom, because this is not something that you can dance around. You have to be direct about this hygiene.
She's right.
But I'm not his mama, though.
Embarrass him one time.
You're going to have, you have like, to tell him. Because you know what? If you don't say something, you're going to just end up having to smell doo-doo every time you have sex.
Yeah, I can't do that.
So just tell him. Be like, babe, look at your underwear. Do you see this? You're not wiping yourself well. Are you getting up in the hole?
So you have doo-doo stains on your sheets, too, huh?
No, I would never.
You have to. If it's in his underwear, it's in the sheets.
But you gotta point it out, because if you don't say anything, then are you just having sex and enduring the smell?
Oh, girl, I don't go down there. Like, I won't go down on him a lot because of that. Like, I'm always afraid. Like, I don't want to get you in my mouth.
Why is it so hard to tell a man his ass stink?
I don't know, but you could get, can't you get E. coli or something?
I mean, if you eat an ass. I can't wait till he asks you to eat his ass.
I don't want to hurt his ego, that's it.
Well, I don't want you to get some type of disease either, a bacteria infection.
That's true.
this is for his own good. First of all, if you're doing laundry sometimes, you don't want to have to touch that and clean that, right?
Right.
And this is for his own benefit. This is to help him out in his life. You got to show him, look, baby, these are wet wipes. Now, me and you were having this conversation. Don't be embarrassed, because we could talk about anything. And trust me, if you're having sex with this man, unprotected, you should be able to tell him his ass stinks and he's not wiping himself.
Goodness gracious.
If you can do that and you can lay up with him and do all of that, then you should be able to communicate with him and tell him, babe, you need to clean your butt.
It's gonna be so funny that's when you tell him. It's gonna be so funny when you tell him his butt stinks, and he was like, "Man, I was thinking the same thing about your poom poom."
And guess what she would do? Wipe her poom poom with a wet wipe.
You said you ate crap.
Who ate crap? You the one eating crap. Don't you dare say I ate crap.
Thank you, Mama.
And just listen. This is a time when you got to be direct and be like, look. You know, I don't know if you're just not wiping yourself right, but there's these stains in your underwear, and sometimes I could smell it. So I just want to say you got to wipe yourself better. Here's some wet wipes every time you go to the bathroom. And you shouldn't even have sex with him until after he showers. But if he's not cleaning his butt in the shower either and then getting out.
How do you say butt like that?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Just say his butt. Just cleaning his butt.
I will say I've been with my wife 21 years. And I do remember a time about 14, 15 years ago where she went down and she was like, hey, man, you need to go take a shower or something. Cause,
hey, man.
You know.
And you appreciated it.
Yeah. I went there. Maybe I didn't wipe properly. I don't know what it was, but she told me. It hurt my feelings. I just went and took a shower.
Is this a common issue between men? Like, I don't understand.
I don't think it was a common issue.
It's happened to me before, once or twice, three times, four times, five times. It happened to me before.
Yeah. So that's why you got to point it out. One day y'all will laugh about it, and hopefully that day that y'all are laughing, his butt will be clean.
But you got to embarrass him. Pick up the underwear and be like, what's this? And then let him see the doodoo stains, and he'll get embarrassed and he'll never do it again.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
That's perfect.
And check your sheets, because I bet you got doodoo stains on your sheets.
Yeah.
I bet you.
Envy knows, trust me.
Shut up. It's happened to me once or twice.
Put those skid marks in his face.
See, you go too far. Thank you, Mama.
How do you like it?
Thank you.
That's actually that's some young boy stuff, though. Because, you know, like, that's one of the reasons after I do a number two, I do go take a shower.
Except if you're at work.
Yeah, if I'm at work. But then it's not like I'm going home and, like, me and my wife going to get right to it. I don't want to go home smelling like
you
the
day. You should never poo and then have sex right after.
Hell no.
If you can take a shower.
We don't want your muddy butt up here either. You better wipe better, bro. All right. Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, hit Ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Quentin from California.
Quentin, what's up, man? What's your question for Ye, bro?
Before I go, first I'd like to let you know, brother, that you know my God versus my enemy's gear that you're wearing is solid, bro.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
But
At Body of God if you want to order something. But go ahead.
So my situation, what happened was, I'm actually looking for a wife. And, you know, I was dating this woman for about 3.5-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things were going really well. I introduced her to my family. And we had one night where, you know, we both made the agreement to not, you know, remain abstinent. You know, because I don't want no kids, but out of wedlock, that's just me.
Okay.
So, So we, you know, we got real close, and, you know, she stopped me. And before she let me allow me to proceed, which I didn't, but she let me know that she was transgender.
Okay.
My issue was, I'm looking for a wife, you know, and immediately I couldn't continue the relationship because...
And that is your choice. And at least she did tell you that before you guys had sex, because I think that's a difficult thing for a person to say off the bat, just in case things don't work out. You know, maybe they don't want to tell everything about themselves up front. How do you feel now? Do you still feel like you want to be with her? Or are you
angry? He's calling because he still has feelings.
Oh, no, I don't have any feelings. No, because okay. I can't have kids with her.
Okay.
God, you know, I mean, to me, you know, and I felt that...
She's a woman, but, okay, I feel you want her to biologically carry a child.
It's hard to not make it seem like to be offensive, but...
Okay, so you feel like you wish you would have known this because you wouldn't have pursued the relationship. But now that you have found out, you guys didn't have sex. It didn't get that far. And now she revealed something about herself and you've decided that you can't continue the relationship. So it just didn't work out, just like any relationship wouldn't work out.
But I feel like at least give me the option.
But Quentin, you wanted her to tell you like immediately when y'all first went on your first date or
yes.
when she feels like she knows you well enough to share things with you about her past?
I feel like the moment we became, we weren't sexually intimate, but there is some intimacy involved. You know,
okay.
Like, I'm 32 years old. I've only introduced two women to my mother.
Right. I feel for you, Quentin. Listen, I understand, like, it's a difficult situation, and every situation is different for the person. You know, at least she did reveal to you before things went there who she was, and, you know, you loved this woman, but now you feel like that's not somebody you could be with because of where you see yourself later on in life with marriage and everything and children.
But I feel them. Before we get intimate, before you kiss me, like, let's be honest. I want to know what's going on in your life. I would want to know as well.
Well, yeah, she did tell him before they had sex.
We've had uncountable, passionate kisses. I'm mm-hmm. saying, and I respected the person. So if they would have come forward while we established that respect, I wouldn't have had these ill feelings.
Can you imagine how difficult that must be for her, though? Also, as far as dating? I'm just, you know, putting it out there.
And I understand in that sense. However, if we're trying to have a solid, keep it 100 relationship, at the very end, I could have at least had a friend.
Right.
My mom actually caught on to it. She said some things that didn't add up. She tried to have a heart-to-heart, woman-to-woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she didn't feel like a woman to her.
Okay.
And that's just from my mom's perspective. But mm-hmm. the fact that I love women. Matter of fact, you're probably one of the most beautiful, natural-looking women that I've seen.
She's taken. She's taken, sir. So
and that's okay.
Try to shout somewhere else.
That's a compliment.
She has a boyfriend. She has a boyfriend.
But don't let this make you give up on finding the right person. Because you know what? Relationships don't always work out no matter what the situation is. There's different reasons why. But you just got to put yourself out there and learn from everything that happens to you.
Did she give you oral?
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, why? It wasn't good?
I mean, it was
good, man.
Well, then it doesn't
good,
sound unfortunate.
It was good.
I mean, I was harder than Chinese trig, I tell you that.
Okay. Well, there you go. I don't know. It sounds like you still have some feelings, but...
He does. He's
he
in
feels
love,
betrayed.
But he doesn't know what to do.
Listen, don't worry about what other people think. Just worry about how you feel. Now, I understand feeling like you wish you would have known so you could have made that decision earlier, but love is love.
So what's your question for you, bro?
Thing is, I'm having issues, you know, with trust just in general. How do I go about not assuming, you know, and having to do, like, gender tests?
Just ask those questions. You never asked her, right?
I mean...
She didn't lie to you.
You can't ask that question on the first date. How do you ask that question on the first date?
You can say, I've had an experience before. Like, I'm trying to, you know, what I'm trying to do. So...
I mean, in the first 90 days, I asked if she ever had an STD. I mean, I thought that was kind of, you know... Cause
that's not the same question, sir. No matter what, right, relationships are difficult. No matter what, it takes a while for us to find the right one sometimes, but when it does happen, it's the best thing in the world. I would tell you, man, you can't just go around not trusting people because of this experience. And to keep it real, she didn't lie to you, and she did come clean to you without you having to ask her to. So you just feel deceived, and I get it, but no matter what, in relationships, there's a lot of things people aren't going to tell you from the beginning that you have to find out as they trust you and you trust them. I'm sure there's things that you held back on telling at first.
I mean, it's the vulnerability piece. I actually shared some things with her that actually I didn't share with any past women. And that's, I think that's the part where I felt betrayed, but
I just moving forward. I'm not sure how to even.
And she shared some things with you as well. That's what relationships are.
Try Christian Mingle, bro.
I appreciate that, brother.
All right, man. Good luck, man.
Envy always.
And you know what, man? Stay
Envy's
on
never
hold.
Even been on Christian Mingle.
I'm gonna send you a hoodie, man. What size?
Man, that'd be great.
What? I ain't gonna ask you a size.
Why not, Envy?
What's your size, bro? Pause.
Why are you pausing his size?
3X. All right, man. We're gonna get you.
3X. You're a big guy.
Whoa, we're gonna get you a hoodie, bro.
I appreciate it.
All right. Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Yes, this is Sherry Brown.
Hey, Sherry Brown. Yeah, what's your question for you?
I'm from Hampton, Virginia. I've been trying to get in touch with y'all for, like, months and months and months.
HU 757-804.
Okay.
Yeah. She didn't sound too hype.
Okay, right, Sherry, so let's hear your question.
Okay. I'm a very smart, by the way. Y'all inspirate me a lot. I listen to the radio because I suffer with PTSD, and I love music, and music calms me down. I can do a lot of things with music. I can cook with music. I can dance to music. I can draw the music. I can read the music. I just love music. So I had a question because I love God, right? And I've been saved since I was 3 years old.
Oh, boy.
And every relationship I've ever been in, all the guys say that I'm crazy. Everybody in my whole city say I'm crazy in Hampton, Virginia. I've been in 757 since I was 9 years old. My mom came here getting away from an abusive relationship that my father was doing. Her and my father couldn't get along, so she left my father when I was 9 months old.
Oh,
and I suffered with not having a father. So I failed to, like, having a relationship with guys looking for father figures, and I was going with older guys. I never would go with younger guys.
Uh-huh.
So now that I'm 43, I started attracting younger guys.
Okay.
Like cougar stuff. So, I went celibate for 4.5 years, and because I was trying to figure out why I kept getting in these relationships that was abusive.
Okay.
And, I mean, they keep putting me down, and they'll start off saying, like, they love me, like, right away, like, a month, 2 months, they love me. And then they say, I'm creative and stuff. I do hair.
Mama, what's your question? What's your question, Mama?
I have, like, 26 braids. I counted them. I did a self-analysis.
Uh-huh.
I draw. I do hair. I sing. I rap. I dance.
You cook.
I mentor.
Mama, what's your question?
Okay, Sherry.
What's your question?
I'm like everything, but they keep telling me I'm not nobody. I'm a certified chef.
Mama, what's your question?
The question is, do a person know a good woman when they see a good woman? And the question is, I'm trying to figure out...
why are you single?
Do I keep dating these guys that say they don't believe in God? Because I believe in God. And every time I say something about God, they don't like it. And I don't understand why they don't like God.
I think
God
we should either. Go back to the part where she said people think she's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a good place to start.
Crazy. Okay, Sherry.
I love God.
Sherry, honey.
Hold on. Let me talk, Sherry.
Giving people clothes.
Sherry!
Is this Ask Yee or Ask Sherry?
Sherry!
Sherry just had some things to get off her chest this morning.
Hey, Yee.
Man, I got 100,000 things. I'm about to go crazy over here thinking that I'm crazy. And I know they crazy.
They crazy.
I've been everybody case management.
Sherry!
Do you want Angela Yee's advice, Sherry?
Huh?
Do you want Angela Yee's advice?
I'm trying to get on the radio like y'all so I can get to talking
because
I love to talk.
We know.
Really?
We know.
I can't tell at all.
So,
Jesus.
Hold on,
okay,
Sherry.
So, Sherry, you keep dating guys who don't believe in God.
Don't ask her a question.
Yeah. They say they believe in them, but they got all these gang signs on them.
Like, gang signs.
Okay, so they do believe in God. They
had a heart on them, blood and Crips.
Sherry.
And all these gang members.
Sherry, so it's not that they don't believe in God, it's they don't praise and worship the way that you do.
Well, I've been saved since I was 3 years old, and I've been in the choir. My mom made me go to church every Sunday, even though she stayed out all night and slept with people's husbands and mistress and all that. I've never had a husband. I've been the best woman that I've ever known and the best mother. My mom just took my son from me, and I'm like really, like, fed the f*** up.
Whoa.
I'm in the best mother I can ever think of. I've been mother to other people's kids that don't even mother their kids.
All right,
what the hell is Sherry?
Sherry's upset.
You know the Bible says.
I'm really upset.
Sherry, the Bible
I've
says.
I've been trying to get in touch with y'all for like ever.
Sherry, hold on. Sherry, you know the Bible says a great deal about being quiet, right?
Yes.
Yeah, holding your tongue. Shutting the hell up sometimes.
Oh, leave her alone. She
be still and listen. God, you know what I'm saying? So you can hear God. How you hearing God and you talk so goddamn much?
But Sherry.
I don't know. I do
see,
know.
Why you start her? Why you start her talking?
Sherry, everybody, just give me a second.
I have ADHD. I have ADHD. I have PTSD. I have woman.
Sherry.
I got ESPN, CNN, BET, VH1, MTV.
I got all these.
Sherry, hold on. Hold
you know
on.
What? We just ran out of time.
Hold on,
fast.
Sherry. Yeah, Sherry.
I feel bad.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
Sherry, did you even ask a question to me?
I don't know. Sherry, thank you very much, Sherry.
Send me something in the water. Send me a ticket.
A ticket to what?
Jumping in the
water. Jumping in the water. I need to go to something in the water so I can get a break. Somebody send me a ticket, please.
Oh, you want
to
go on vacation now?
Yeah, I'll host this. I just want to be there. I just want to get away from all this shit.
Hey, what the hell is wrong
with you? We'll get you a ticket to Virginia Beach.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all I want.
Virginia Beach is 5 minutes away. From you.
I know, right from me. I used to live in Norfolk, Virginia.
I forget it. I'm sorry.
Sherry, if you want to reach me, the email is helpmeyee@gmail.com.
Do you have enough space in your inbox for this email Sherry's about to send you?
Well, the show's over. Thank you all for listening to The Breakfast Club because that call went on.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Maybe you can fly Sherry out.
No, I'm not flying Sherry. I said, Sherry, we'll take you to Virginia Beach. It's 10 minutes away. I know. I used to live in Norfolk. She's going to keep going. Keep it locked. We have more coming up next.
Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how Black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Breakfast Club.
This is The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Her.
What's up?
Good morning, her.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. It's bright and early.
It is. You don't like getting up this early?
You know, I'm not a morning person, but I just came back from the UK, so I'm good.
Okay.
So congratulations to you, because you've been having a phenomenal past couple
Amazing
of years.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's been crazy, honestly.
So how many instruments do you play?
I play mainly guitar, keys, bass, and drums.
Damn.
Now, let's start from the beginning. A lot of people don't know. How did you get into the music industry? I know you were signed at like the age of 14. How did you get into the industry?
Man, I mean, it's a long story, but I've been doing music for a really long time. My dad was a musician just for fun, and I was singing as a young kid, and things just happened the way they were supposed to happen. The stars kind of aligned for me, and I was doing meetings and stuff at a very young age. People saw me, you know, singing and playing Alicia Keys songs mm-hmm. as a young girl, like on YouTube and stuff. And eventually I got signed to RCA when I was 14, and, you know, I had the time to develop and figure out who I was as a person, growing to...
They held you, that long?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They would have dropped you.
Oh, pretty much. I mean, you know, when you're 14, you don't know who you are yet. You don't know even who you want to be. So
who's seen the talent that early?
Man, I mean, my parents, number one, but there were so many people. MBK Entertainment, you know, they built Alicia Keys' career. Jeff Robinson is my manager. He kind of gave me that creative space, and we were kind of like going against, you know, what RCA, you know, it was like a push and pull as far as what was going to happen for me. You know what I mean? It was like I wanted to make sure that I was in complete control of my situation, as did, you know, my management team. And so I had the creative space to just figure out myself and figure out my sound and who and what I was going to represent.
Can you really grow as a human at 14 with a record deal? Like, can you really grow?
I mean, I did, because I was going to regular school, you know, and then I would come to New York for like a week or 2 weeks and record and work with people and then go back to school. You know,
what were you singing about at 14?
You know, it's so funny. I wrote a song called Curious. I wrote about people being in my business, like my parents, you know, like stuff like that.
No boy, your parents, they weren't in your business. It's called being a parent.
Right, exactly.
No boyfriend stuff, though.
No, boyfriend stuff.
So you wrote all your own music?
Absolutely. Always. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've been a writer. I'm a poet, you know, as well as a writer, and I kind of, you know, they go hand in hand.
And you never got discouraged being signed so early and not really taking off to...
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, after a few years, it's like, okay, when am I going to put out music? When am I going to figure this out? Who am I? You know, what am I going to do as far as my career is concerned? And so when I graduated high school, or before I graduated high school, I'm like, am I going to go to college, or am I going to be in this music thing 100%? So there were frustrations there, you know, and watching everybody else that was signed to my management company, you know, it was K. Michelle and Brandy and Alicia Keys and L. Varner and all these people, and Justine Skye, like all these great artists doing their thing, and me kind of like sitting on the sideline, you know, at their shows, kind of like waiting my turn, like, okay, pretty soon I'm gonna have music out, I'm gonna be doing shows, I'm gonna be doing this. And I was being patient, and I finally decided, like, all right, I'm gonna just be in this 100%. My parents supported me. So
what does a teenager know about patience?
Right, what did I know about patience?
That's rare.
Don't know, man. I love music so much, and there was nothing else I wanted to do.
I feel like, you know, as a young child, with the label telling you you should be like this and you should be like that, like, that would be hard in your formidable years, because everybody's trying to tell you what to be instead of just letting you be.
Man, it is definitely difficult. And that's why I always preach to people, like, no matter what anybody tells you, surround yourself with people that are going to embrace who you are and see the potential in what you can be and not what you should be, or something that is modeled, you know, like something that you should be modeled after, you know, or manufactured into, you know. That was my whole thing. Like, I'm gonna just find my voice and figure out my truth and you know, present that.
What made you hide your identity for so long?
I mean, I wasn't so much of a hiding my identity. It was more so like focusing on the music. Like, I didn't want people to know how old I am. I didn't want people to know my, you know, ethnicity, and I didn't want people to like see my face, you know, or have any assumption. You know, we focus on all the superficial things and what's happening now, and I just wanted people to focus on the music and the message. And now people of all ages have kind of taken my music and made it their diary, you know, like, oh, they feel connected to it because they don't know anything about me, you know.
The label had to be against that, though.
You know what, they weren't at first. It was kind of like okay, but they weren't. They definitely kind of like helped make the vision come to life. Like, yeah. It was
a nice different type of rollout, because we're used to seeing people just, we got to get you everywhere. We got to get you on this remix. We got to get your face on the cover of this. We have to make sure your social media is popping.
Right.
And you didn't have to do those things.
I started off with zero followers. Like, I made my Instagram page the day that I released my music, and it just grew organically. Like, I really feel like I grinded it out. You know, I didn't want a quick radio hit. I just wanted to do shows and have people fall in love with me and my artistry, and not just one song, or, you know, not just one thing, or my face or whatever. You know, I wanted it to be about the music and my truth, my story.
We talk about a lot of the celebrities that loved you and started following you. And I heard you tell a story about the day you spoke to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Now tell that story.
Crazy. So I was 10 or 11 years old. I was like 11 years old. And I met Rodney Jerkins in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he had a studio in Burbank. And me and my parents went to the studio. Mm-hmm. And we left the studio. He was telling us about, you know, his Michael stories and this and that, working with Michael. And we left the studio. We got to the corner at the stoplight. And he was running down the street. Rodney Jerkins.
And Rodney's big. Rodney is small.
He didn't look like, you know, the type of guy who would be running down the street. Right. So he.
Damn, you saying he don't do no cardio?
No.
What does that type of guy look like?
Back then, he didn't do no cardio.
So he was running down the street. He got to us in the car, and we were like, "Why is he running?" So we pulled over to the side, and he held out a phone. It was a flip phone. He held out this flip phone, and I was like, "Hello." It was like, "Hey, this is Michael. You know, I'm a big fan of you. I think you're so talented, this and that. I want to meet you." I was like, "What?" And unfortunately, it never happened. And then, like, you know, less than a year later, he passed away. But crazy. Me and my mom were like crying. My mom was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, she was planning on going to his last concert that he was gonna have in the UK, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So
you had music out at 11?
No, he saw videos of me singing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you met Janet.
I did. She came to my show in London. She came to my show.
Did you know she was in the building? Was one of those things like, you know, Janet's here.
I heard she was coming, but I didn't know that she was going to come. And then when they were like, "Janet's here," we were all like, "Oh my gosh, what do we do?" Like, okay, act natural. You know, like, we're all like, "What do we do?" And everybody was kind of crazy. And I was like playing it cool. Like, "What's up, Janet?"
You gave
like,
Janet a head nod.
I did. I was like, nice to meet you.
Janet probably more shy than you.
Yeah, she was very, like, quiet. But then when everybody left the room and it was just the two of us, we had, like, our time, and she was, like, talking to me and opening up a little bit. I was like, wow.
What jewel did she give you? Did she give you any jewels?
No, I mean, not really. She was just telling me that she was proud of me. She was telling me that I helped her get through her pregnancy.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Crazy. She said, you know, when she was in her house going through it or whatever, she was listening to my music.
All right, we got more with her. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have R&B recording artist Her. That was her joint focus. Now, Charlamagne.
How did your career change when you revealed your identity?
I didn't really reveal it.
They were speculating. Oh, you know who that is?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I never was like, "Hey, ta-da." You know what I mean? Like,
here I am. Face.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, you see me a lot more. And at this point, I don't think it even matters who I am, what my name is, or anything, because people are in love with the music. That was the point to begin with. And
it
people
works.
Are still falling in love with it, regardless of knowing what I look like or anything. So
nobody can slide in your DMs, huh?
No.
Why?
No,
people
be signing my DMs. You know, you get the little requests sometimes.
Oh, you be checking them?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Depends, you know.
Why don't you follow nobody?
Because I'm not really like a, you know, I don't really be on social media like that.
She
like,
don't
want to
see all that mess on her timeline.
Right, right. I still keep up, you know, a little bit. It's on the Explore page, but I don't really, you know. People start getting salty, like, "Why don't follow me back?" Or why, you know.
You can't follow Daniel Caesar or nobody?
Nah, I'm not following anybody.
Do you miss the, what's the word? Anonymity? What's the word?
Anonymity.
There you go. You know what I'm talking about. Do you miss
being
it when not knowing
just say
who
being
you
anonymous.
Are?
Yeah, you could have said it like that.
Anonymity. Sometimes. I guess I expected this. You know, I kind of mentally prepared for whatever would happen. I'm just happy to do music, you know? Like, it doesn't matter. I think sometimes I do, like, I try to be low-key, you know? I take the glasses off, because if I have them on, then you recognize me and put my hair back, walk around like, "Wait a minute, that's..." And I'm like, "Ah, damn." You know, like, my cover's blown.
So how do you deal with relationships now? You know, because it's different now. Now they know who you are. They know your face.
I don't know. It's, you know, it's hard to know if somebody really loves you for you.
They don't.
You know what?
Not anymore.
You know what? There are people out there.
Nah, you're hurt
that's
now.
That's so negative.
Listen.
Is so negative.
It's the truth.
Listen.
You got to be very, very careful.
Honestly, whatever it is, whatever situation I get into, love takes time. When people show you who they are, you pay attention.
You ever had any corny lines like, "Hey, her, I want to be your him"?
Yeah, all
they
the time. They always do that.
Actually, an artist did come out as
I'm talking
him.
About a guy trying to holler at her. Yeah.
Yes, all the time. Yes. All the time.
Charlamagne's thinking about his corny lines that he would have had back in the day.
What's the corniest one?
That is the corniest
that is
one.
That's the one.
Spot on.
You hit it right on the nose. Right.
How do you respond to that?
I don't respond. I just be like, "Oh, okay, all right."
I can't hear out of the side of my head.
What made you name yourself after a whole pronoun?
So it's kind of a long story, but when I was, you know, 15, 16, I used to, you know, look at other women, my high school or my, like, big people I consider my big sisters, and I would say, I'm never going to, you know, make the mistakes that they're making. I'm never going to fall in love with this guy and fall for the wrong guy and all this stuff, right? And I became her. I became that girl.
Plus, we have to go through things on our own sometimes.
Absolutely.
You watch people make mistakes, and you would wish we could learn from the mistakes of other people. But sometimes you're in something, and it doesn't, you're like, how did I get here?
Exactly.
I'm here.
So it's like you got a little bit of other women in you, so to speak?
I would say...
Like, I am her, kind of?
Right. So we all, as women, when we're, you know, even from high school to adulthood, we experience similar changes.
We have shared experiences.
Right. We have feelings. We've all fell for that wrong guy or that guy that was no good, and we knew he was no good. So it's just that connection that all women have.
And when are we getting some new music? When are we getting the album?
Soon. I'm working on it right now.
Mm-hmm. The debut album. So what's your... How do you focus
on
this
debut? Your debut?
Yeah.
What was
EP?
All those other projects?
I mean, that was EPs.
There were EPs. Everything that was happening was so unexpected. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I literally
amazing.
Dropped
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's amazing that you could just put out music like that, though, nowadays. Like, it right. doesn't even have to be, here's my first album. You put out EPs, tease the people.
I mean, you have to. Mm-hmm. And then you get forget about. You get forgotten about.
So what's the difference for you between doing an album and doing EPs?
I'm not sure, because people are treating my EPs like it's an album, right. you know? So what I thought was an EP is, or what I thought was an album is apparently not. But this is kind of going to be not specific to a certain time. I think it's going to be my perspective from young up until this point.
I feel like you've been through so much in relationships from listening to your music.
You know, the funny thing about it is, like, I really, like, it's really not that deep, like, anything that I've ever been through. But for me, it's always that deep.
It feels deep.
Like, it's always that deep. Like, I feel everything to, like, the 10th power. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just an emotional cancer.
Oh, God.
Me exactly. too, baby. 629.
Oh, wow. 627.
629. We feel everything. Right there. And it's only going to get worse as you get older.
Oh, boy.
You're
going to
run
you.
Over a squirrel and be like, and start crying. I'm serious.
And so, that's gonna make for great music.
So what would somebody say it's like? What would somebody
running
say
over
it's
a
like?
Why would you want to write about that? He's sicko.
What would somebody say that it's like to date you? If somebody that dated you would be like, well, she was like this. She was. Are you a very clingy person? Are you detached? Are you?
I'm definitely kind of needy until the other person's needy. No, I'm definitely kind of needy. I take care of the people I love, so I'm definitely, like, trying to make sure you're good, you know, regardless.
You're cancer.
Exactly.
That's what we do. You're sensitive. You're mm-hmm. emotional. You care
Very
about your
sensitive.
People. But don't cross them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's another thing.
Oh, God.
People know.
If
anything goes down, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm definitely not one to play with.
And we petty. We always got to constantly check our petty.
I hate to admit it, but yeah, that's true.
What's the last petty thing you did to somebody who crossed you?
Oh, all right. I don't know. No.
You're from the West Coast, so just make sure it's legal.
You know, right?
Just make sure it's legal.
No, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Do you feel like your two Grammys validated you more as an artist, or did you care?
No, I don't think it validated me. I definitely think it was a milestone. If anything, it was for me. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes, especially when you're young and you're sensitive about your art, you question yourself. You have your doubts, and you're like, okay, am I doing the right thing? Is this where I'm supposed to be? I'm really hard on myself, so that was kind of like confirmation. Like, okay, you're doing the right thing. You're mm-hmm. exactly where you're supposed to be. You know, you made the right decisions, and yeah, just be in the moment.
I see Barack Obama put you on his favorite list.
Crazy,
of 2018.
And that's another thing that made me feel like, okay, I'm doing something right because mm-hmm. Obama's listening to me.
Right. What if Trump was listening to you? How would you feel about that? What if Trump was like, "Yo, her is fire"? What if he tweeted that out?
And then I would post FDT on my page.
We know that stands for
Nipsey and
rest in peace, right, YG.
Rest in peace, YG. Exactly.
Oh, you from LA, right?
Well, I'm from the Bay Area.
The Bay Area.
See, people in New York always think California is just L.A.
You know? Nah, just Charlemagne.
He just got it wrong.
I didn't know you're from the Bay.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm from the Bay.
Okay.
Vallejo, E-40, Sly.
Yeah.
Mac Dre.
Yeah.
How did Nipsey's death impact you, being from the West?
It's really sad, because when you see somebody doing really good for the community and they're gone, it's just like you feel like there's a missing piece. Mm. That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, it feel weird, right? Like, this one hits a little different.
Yeah, it's a bit different. it affected everybody in some way. Just the energy kind of changed. We all found out.
Sheesh.
Her got to get up out of here, guys. She's about to leave 10 minutes ago. I've been ignoring the label over here, tapping me.
He's just ignoring
her.
Them.
What white
She's
outlet
busy.
Are they rushing you,
you
off to?
You know what? I don't know. Where are we going?
They, like you to be, they want you to be on time for the white outlet.
I'm just working.
Breeze you through the black ones.
No, I will always make time. That's why I'm still here right now.
But just think about that when you go to the next outlet and you're in there with all those white people. You'd be like, damn, they really did rush me out of the black outlet to bring me over here.
To play
guitar. Dance.
Goodness gracious. Well, her, thank you for joining
thank
me.
Thank you.
Good
luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
All
yes,
right.
It was a pleasure. We're so happy. And thank you for your donation that you made to Change for Change. You were actually the first person to call up and make a donation when we did our fundraiser. So
oh,
we appreciate
wow.
That
was
that's
her?
Crazy.
Yeah, that
thank
was her.
You.
Oh, my goodness.
Her, literally.
That's her.
That was her. All
thank
right.
you, guys. Appreciate
it's the,
it.
It's the Breakfast Club. It's her. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Shout out to everybody that picked up tickets to my car show again. I so appreciate it. September 7th is the date. And also, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
My positive note is simply go inside and listen to your body, because your body will never lie to you. Your mind will play tricks, but the way you feel in your heart and your guts is the truth.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.